And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men and the flesh of horses and of them that sat on them and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. What a descriptive article, really, a happening of what's going to take place. And it's written as if one is looking and seeing these things unfold, and that's exactly what took place with John as he was shown these things. He's writing from that firsthand experience of seeing these things happen as he was called up hither for that purpose. Amazing, amazing things. And by the way, just reading through there, no doubt, will provide you with a lot of questions, amen. And we're going to wade through those, not all tonight, but let's pray and we'll start looking at a couple things here this evening. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this, your word. And there's a lot here in this text. And we know this this event is still to come. And we know that it's literal. We know that it's very descriptive because it is not only coming, it is the real deal. This and so much more is going to take place on earth at the end of the tribulation period. God, help us to learn some things about it. Might you give us some understanding through your word, and might it help us to be sober-minded in reference to what's coming, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The world likes to laugh at the end of the world. And by the way, the whole time frame that we're in right now, working towards Wicked Ween, they that hate me, love death. That's what the Bible says. It's not funny. It's not something we make fun of. It's not something we glorify. Micah has been working with me some, working for Rob, learning, teaching him some things. And we'll go to houses and there'll be skeletons hanging on the front porch. And I'll say to Micah, I'll be like, how inviting is that? The last person that's here is hanging on the porch. The bird's dying, ate all his flesh and just a bunch of bones. We can laugh about it, or we can say that's the message that they're wanting to send. So be very careful. They that hate me, the Bible says, love death. We don't glorify death. And we don't look at a text like this and say, yes, all those Christ rejectors are dead and being eaten by the birds. No, we mourn over these precious lives that could have been saved. Amen? Could have been saved. And so while this is a victory, it is not something, I mean, the Lord doesn't look at this and take pleasure in the death. The Bible says he doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. And so we're not taking pleasure here. We are not looking at this and saying, finally, they got what they deserve. Did they? Yeah, absolutely. But is it something that we're happy about? Absolutely not. Amen? Vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He's able to rightly deal and meet these things out. I'm not. Amen? And neither are you. And so we look at these things, and we're not happy that the events that we're looking at, I mean, a bunch of people dying and flesh coming and eating their flesh off their bones, that's a gruesome sight. Amen? And so we understand that, and yet we must look at it and study it as it is truth. Amen? But at the same time, we're not going to glorify it. I'm not going to bring it forth like this is some great event that we're happy it's here. Sure, we're happy that sin's being dealt with. Sure, we're happy with the events following the Battle of Armageddon, meaning Christ will come and be placed upon his throne and rightly rule on earth for those 1,000 years. That's a wonderful thing. And yes, this has to happen before that. So we understand those things. Anyway, this account is well understood to be the Battle of Armageddon. Now, what introduces it as that battle is found a couple chapters earlier in Revelation chapter 16. If you recall, in Revelation 16, verse number 12, we'll read a couple verses there. When the sixth vial was opened, the river Euphrates is dried up, and that makes the way for this battle. That's what the text says. And so in Revelation 16 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." So where that phrase comes from, the Battle of Armageddon, we see here in verse number 14, it calls it the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then in verse 16, it gives the place that it's called, the place is called in Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. So the battle of Armageddon, that's where that name comes from. I want to show you just a little. Awesome. All right. So this body of water right here is the Mediterranean Sea. Great Sea, it's called oftentimes in your Bible. This area here is Israel. So northern up here, Damascus, Syria, and all that. I just want to show you that Israel's here, about the Great Sea or the Mediterranean Sea is there. Egypt down here. And then this basically is the Euphrates River. And it runs all the way down here. Is that the Straits of something? Gibraltar? No. Anyway, yeah. There's a big body, but that you can see it totally isolates. So this is the East, the kings of the East. Now, what I find fascinating about studying the Battle of Armageddon is Old Testament and New make a big deal about horses. You know, and I don't know how many horses are under my hood of my truck, but there's a lot of horses in there. I think I'm pushing about 350 horses in there. All right. Now, it used to be that people had a one horse vehicle. Amen. They rode it. Amen. And it sure does sound like, it wouldn't be anything for an airplane to fly over that river. It wouldn't be anything for, I'm sure there's a lot of bridges built over that river right now, right? But for some reason, the Bible says that there's a need that this river gets dried up to make way for the kings over here to come across to meet up at this battle. That's very interesting. Amen? I don't know what life on earth will be like at the end of the tribulation period. We know there's going to be a lot of destruction. There's a great earthquake that takes place as well. Many earthquakes, but a really large earthquake that's going to take place towards the latter end that basically it levels stuff. And so I don't know what life will be like on earth, but it seems like maybe, I don't know what the power grid's going to be like. It wouldn't take much for our power grid to be wiped out now. And so it may be in that day that life as we know it today with electricity, with modern travel and all that, by this point, all that is diminished. And we know the vial, the sixth vial, those demons go out and they basically are going to work through all the kings of the earth to to promote and gather all the people together at that place. So they're going to get there. And when people are upset about something, they do whatever it takes. And that's what's going to happen in that day. People are mad by this point, and they're mad at Jesus. And this battle is going to be understood to be the battle of all that humanity in that day has to offer against Jesus Christ. That's what that battle is all about. It is man against God. And it sure is setting up, it seems like, that people today want to take on God all the time, already. Well, in this day, all the masses are going to gather together. Religion of that day, everybody of that day is going to come together and battle against Jesus Christ and his people. So very interesting. So that's that river that will need to get dried up. And you can see how it truly is a barrier between Israel and the east there. So in this particular picture, let's see if I can't. Yeah, so again, look at Mediterranean Sea, Israel way over here, Euphrates River in this area. Then you look at all the places to the east over there. You got Afghanistan over there, of course, Pakistan. You got Iran, Iraq. You got China, India, Russia. There's a lot of land over there. You don't really realize that until you look at something like this, but Egypt over here, Mediterranean Sea, Europe over here. So Israel's here, river here that we just looked at. And then all this, all of that. And the Bible says that that's what those kings, there's cleared a way for them to come down. Now, we're also going to see that there's other kings that will be a part of this as well. These kings will be a part. These kings will be a part. But there is a physical barrier that the Bible is talking about keeping these kings from being there. And the sixth vial takes care of that. Let me see. Oh, that's something else. Yeah. All right. So with that in mind, very quickly, just for a few minutes here, look at Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Actually, let's see. Actually, just for sake of time, we'll hit Zechariah 14 next time. Turn over to Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38, because it names some of the groups that will be there at this particular time. Ezekiel 38. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Check on something. Okay. And the word of Ezekiel 38:1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against them. And say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords, Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. All of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togamar, of the north quarters, and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste. And, of course, talking about Israel being brought back. But it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. So it's talking about Israel being put back, and then back talking about these nations, it says, thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. And thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages, and I will go to them that are at rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling about without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil and to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations which have gotten cattle and goods that dwell in the midst of the land, Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to take a great spoil? Look at verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say unto Gog, thus saith the Lord God, in that day when my people of Israel dwelleth safely, shalt thou not know it? And thou shalt come from that thy place out of the north parts, thou and many people with thee, all of them riding upon horses, a great company and a mighty army. And thou shalt come up against my people of Israel as a cloud to cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring thee against my land, that the heathen may know me. It's very interesting. There's a lot of different takes on the duration of this final battle and stuff like this, where it talks about potentially peace in Israel for a time. If we just go back and rethink through some timeline of the tribulation period, the Antichrist does set up shop there. His government structure will be in Israel, in Jerusalem. And there is a false sense of peace that's going to be in Israel up until the midpoint of the tribulation, when that abomination of desolation is offered upon the altar there in the temple. We know that the Antichrist comes in and he offers, some speculates a pig, but he presents himself as Christ, and their eyes are open. And we know in that time the peace is gone. Peace is removed. The honeymoon's over. And there was already trouble. There was already trouble around. But for Israel, they were still somewhat protected, because the Antichrist was protecting them. The two witnesses are in the streets. The 144,000 around preaching. Yeah, they're enemies. But Israel, in a sense, was, as long as they were siding with Antichrist, they were somewhat safe. Remember, it's at the midpoint that everything really breaks loose, and that the Bible talks about Israel fleeing and then being hid out. Now, not everybody runs, and we'll actually see prophecy to show that. So some speculate that the battle that we're referring to here, that culminates at the end, at the Battle of Armageddon, some speculate that this battle of Gog and Magog and the other kings was a longer period. And in some regards, it has to be more than one day, because of some of the prophecy given of the things that actually take place there. Now, I don't know how long of a duration. I am not one that's going to say it's a full 3.5 years. I don't believe it was. But whatever happens, this particular prophecy does say that the northern kings, when Israel was in safety, decided to come against them. That's what it says. And when they decided to come against them, they've done so on horseback. They've done so on horse, and they've come to spoil them. They've come to take their treasures. They've come to spoil their cities and to leave them desolate. Look very quickly at let's go to verse number 19. Well, let's do verse number 18. It shall come to pass at the same time when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, saith the Lord God, that my fury shall come up in my face. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of the heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. Now, at this point in the text, and we've jumped a little bit, This is the point that would be the latter end, where Christ is going to come and actually set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. And just before we read it, let me show you what it basically says is going to happen. So on the screen there, see, here's Jerusalem. And it's hard to see in this pic, but that darker is a mountain range. And we know that this is the Mount of Olives. And if you look way up, let me see. Yeah, Megiddo right here is basically Armageddon. Is going to be in the valley adjacent to Megiddo. All right, and if you follow this route that they could travel on was a way through the mountain ranges. So kind of this actually gives elevations and different things. By the time you get way up into this valley, it's pretty much sea level at the valley. And it's way high here. So it goes all the way down. Well, the Bible talks about the Lord coming back. And he's going to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. And it is going to be an earthquake. And there will be a chasm that opens up that connects these two seas. The Dead Sea with the Mediterranean Sea. And that's what this is talking about. And it's in that valley that would connect these two that it's going to give the people of Jerusalem, or also where they're hid out adjacent, passage to run right to Jesus Christ. All right? And you say, that is unbelievable. For believers only. Right. Amen. Amen. So I like that. It's a good saying. Amen. And that's what's going to happen. Let's read through here very quickly. It says, follow the ground. Okay, verse 21. And I will call for a sword against him throughout all my mountains, saith the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother, and I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him, and overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Amen. Now, look back up at who was mentioned here. In the first few verses of Ezekiel 38, it says in verse number 2, it says that he would set his face against Gog and the land of Magog. Well understood to be Russia. There's reason for that. I don't have time to explain, but that's Russia. The prince of Meshech is said to be a reference to the sons of Japheth. And if that be the case, the sons of Japheth, but which, by the way, we would go through the line that are Caucasian, would go through the line of Japheth. And so that would be the European countries above. And then Tubal is another city of Russia in reference to that in that second verse as well. And then down below in verse number 5, Persia's mentioned. That's Iran. Ethiopia, that's an African country south of Egypt. And then Libya, that is an African country west of Egypt. Gomer is a reference to the nations around the Black Sea, more directly north there. And then Togarma, that's nations round about Armenia, kind of close to that area as well. So that's just to show in context of Ezekiel 38, how really it's covering more than just the nations to the east of the Euphrates. It's covering the nations round about. And we're really about out of time, but if we would reference Zechariah 14, Zechariah 14. Let's just do this real quick and then we'll wrap it up. Zechariah 14, verse number 1. This kind of fills in some things. So you got the Ezekiel prophecy. You got some prophecies in Isaiah, a little bit in Daniel. And then you got, of course, Zechariah here, 14, chapter 12, and then also 14, 14 in particular. It says in Zechariah 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity. So again, this shows that what's going to happen is it just going to be a one day and done thing. This is going to be a campaign that hits how long, we're not sure, I'm not sure, but there'll be a little bit of length to it. The battle, the actual battle of Armageddon is not long, but there are some things that lead up to it. And the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations. So there's going to be some war that takes place. All these nations rage war on Jerusalem. And then the Lord steps in. And then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley. Half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, half of it toward the south. And ye shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azael. That is a reference to Jerusalem, Azael. Yea, ye shall flee like as ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. There was an earthquake in that day, well recorded in history, of a great earthquake. This earthquake will be bigger than that one. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. Old Testament prophesying very clearly, this is absolutely referring to what takes place at the end of the tribulation period, that the Lord will come, set his feet down on the Mount of Olives. By the way, when he ascended in Acts chapter 1, he ascended from up off the Mount of Olives, and the angel there said that he will come in like manner down to the Mount of Olives. He'll come to rescue his people. His saints will be with him. Interesting that it says that in the Old Testament. Amen. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night, but it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. So however long this is, it's one day he's going to do. Jump down to verse number 12 very quickly. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. This is amazing. Look at this. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their flesh is going to consume away and all their blood is going to come out, because it's also prophesied that the blood will run to the horse's bridle in that valley. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. And their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. And they shall lay hold every one on the hand of their neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. They're going to turn on each other. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, of the ass, of the beast that shall be in these tents as this plague. In other words, their flesh is also going to consume away. Their eyes are going to consume away. Their tongue is going to consume away. Their blood will be let out. Horrible, horrible time. All these different passages help build the picture of what's going to take place at the Battle of Armageddon. What's going to lead up to it, and then the Battle of Armageddon. Very, very interesting. But I find it absolutely fascinating that in that day, that the mountain here is going to cleave north, cleave south. It's going to leave a valley from the one sea to the other, and will be a conduit for the people of God to seek refuge to Jesus Christ in that day. Hallelujah. The saints will be with him. All those that, listen, if who's ever thought, hopefully no one in this room, who's ever thought is, I'll take my chances, I think mankind can beat Jesus Christ, you're crazy.
Amen.
The prophecies are specific. They are not figurative. Even if they were, I don't know how that would work out. They are literal prophecies that have been prophesied clear back from the prophets of the Old Testament, gathered together, and then packaged very nicely for us in the book of Revelation. This is coming. We are not far from it. The details are specific. It's a sobering thing to consider. Amen. Now, next week, I won't be here next week, but the week after, we'll begin to look at the details as given in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, about this, and throw some things in there that are really, really interesting in that time frame. But the Battle of Armageddon, it is the last battle of the age. And I know we're in the dispensation of grace, going to go into that last 7 years of a law, but it's the last thing that has to happen, of course, before the separation of the sheep and the goats, and then the rightful setting of Jesus Christ on his throne right here on planet Earth. It's amazing. And the detail given is amazing in the scripture, just like you and I read just a moment ago. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for all that you've given to us in your word about this battle that's coming, about the war that's coming, all nations gathering against your people in Israel after they reject the Antichrist. Lord, the detail is hard to even consider. But Lord, the wages of sin is death is true and it's real. And anyone that sets their battle plan against yours is going to have a horrible outcome. The only answer today for us is to reject the world and embrace Christ. Lord, I pray that every person in this room or hearing, even if they're zooming in tonight, I pray that every person has repented of their sin and repented of their own idolatrous nature of trying to find some other way to heaven. I pray, dear God, that by thy Holy Spirit you've convicted them and that they know for sure that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that they are willing to place all their faith and trust completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ and across the Calvary. Lord, that is our only hope. Our only hope is to side with you. Every other plan, every other means, every other false god, every other creation of man will fail and will be culminated right here at this point in history when one last ditch effort of all of mankind's effort and the Antichrist's effort and the devil's effort, the false prophets, all of it will come together at one point. All the kings of the earth, all the wealth that's left, everything. And God, it'll be consumed away in one day. Against your strength, no one can stand. Oh, God, help us to see that today. Thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you for being a good God. We're going to look in the days ahead concerning these things to show that it's 100% righteous and just, though not desired. You would that all would repent and come to Christ in salvation. Help us now, I pray, to preach your gospel to a lost and dying people that we might see some recovered before this takes place. Help us now, and we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.